2024. First item would be roll call.
Name roll call.
Elizabeth Grant.
Justin Smith.
Bob Blount.
Doug Kikler.
Boyer Slester.
Very good. Let's rise for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, it appears that we have no opening announcements on the agenda, is that correct?
I would actually make just one comment, kind of carrying over from the last unofficial meeting carried into tonight. There was some concern of the overflow parking agreement and any potential liability in relation to the Bosniak Islamic Center plan. I reviewed that and I conferred in the firm as well. We don't believe that there's, first of all, any potential liability for the township, because we don't see that there would be any exception to the Political Subdivision Tort Claims Act in the event of any sort of accident from someone walking over. With that said, as was discussed at the unofficial meeting, it appears on the plan that parking requirements have been met and are in compliance with the ordinance. Therefore, there would be no need for overflow parking. And my understanding is that the applicant has withdrawn the agreement that they have with a third party for overflow parking from the plan application. That being said, I'm comfortable that if the Planning Commission would approve the plan, if they'd be inclined to do that, that as long as it would be approved with a caveat that the approval does not extend to any overflow parking agreement the applicant might have with a third party, that would be fine.
Thank you for that clarification. All right, the next item on the agenda would be approval of the agenda. Does anyone have any comments or consideration? Yes.
Yeah, I believe we should remove the new business item consideration of the Planning Commission a member. It's really up to the Board of Supervisors to make that decision, and I think this board, by doing that, may, cause hardships between folks, where it's probably better to avoid that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. There's no reason for this board to self-appoint. It's the job of the elected officials.
The only comment I'd like to make to the Board of Supervisors then is that I think it would behoove the township if we had a selection of candidates. First I heard that we had an opening was at the meeting last time around. I didn't even know it. But with very little bit of outreach to people in my community and people I know, neighbors, former neighbors, that kind of thing, I was able to scare up, I don't use the word scare up, but I was able to get two, definitely I'm interested, I'm going to apply, and I have two others that are, I'm interested, but I want to know more, talk to me about it. So it doesn't take much to gain interest. It's all I would ask is when we do have a vacancy, is that we allow some sort of time and some mechanism through either our quarterly newsletter, of course, the website. People, you know, I don't know how hit and miss they are on that signage, and then just letting people know that, hey, we have an opening. Let us, our board, know that we have an opening. We probably would, and then just do some simple canvassing. You know, make a few phone calls, some texts. Like I said, in one evening, I had four responses. Right. And that way we would get you, the supervisors would then have potentially some choice.
Oh yeah, I think that's great to reach out to neighbors and other, you know, township residents. It's been on the agenda now with the supervisors for several meetings. So definitely check the website out, check the agenda that's posted for those positions. come to our meetings because, you know, it's a great way of meeting the candidates and going through their qualifications so that you can make the best decision possible.
So I guess one of the questions that I have, you know, if we would get multiple applicants at one time, you know, everyone has to submit a resume, obviously. You know, if we would have protocols or processes in place, if we are faced with multiple candidates at one time, that we could do a vetting process, you know, almost like an executive session interview each candidate, and then possibly make the recommendation to the supervisors, you know, what's after the interviews, and then the supervisors can interview them as well. You know, especially if, like I said, we are getting multiple candidates at one time. Because in my opinion, it's good to be able to ask the questions to these potential candidates and understand why they're interested in serving on the PC, what their interests are, and that way, you know, everything can be vetted thoroughly versus just getting someone plopped in a seat.
Sure.
Yeah. you know what I'm saying?
Do plan to vet it thoroughly.
Yeah.
Please come to the meetings where we can, you know, do that and ask questions. But it has never been done before with the Planning Commission to do interviews and things, so that would definitely be a change for this board's function.
Would that be permissible, though, if...
I'm only one of three, so it would have to go towards supervisors for consensus.
Correct. I guess that's my question. Can, you know, the PC even ask that of the supervisors to change or, you know, go by that protocol or ask for that protocol to be followed?
Well, I think the commission could ask for that protocol to be followed, as long as the commission doesn't take any formal action on a decision or a recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And exactly, that's kind of what I'm saying, to be kind of a part of the conversation, a part of the evaluation, working, you know, from in partnership with the supervisors. That's the point, that's the direction I'm coming from. You know, not the PC making the decision, but vetting these candidates and making our recommendation to the supervisor. Just like when we review and approve these plans, you know, that's our job to make the recommendation to the supervisors. Well, if people want to sit on the commission, I think we should also be offered that opportunity as well to review and make recommendations to the supervisors for any candidate. And then if the supervisors agree, they could be placed on the PC. That's just kind of my thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Please attend the next meeting. Yeah. Go to pitch and see what happens.
Yeah. But I just want to make sure, first and foremost, you know, in terms of the legalities of it, if the PC even has the ability to make that request.
Well, I think that, you know, doing it in that fashion, if you welcome them to come and make public comment, then that's perfectly fine. And you could use that as kind of somewhat of an evaluation just to kind of get your feel for the applicants and what they might bring to the table. I don't see that there'd be anything wrong with that.
So yeah, in addition to the outreach opportunity that we might add to the table, we might have a perspective on, you know, what perspectives would be helpful to our commission and add, you know, add a different viewpoint or a different, you know, professional set of skills. I think it would be helpful to have some insight into that.
Yes, but as a function of the board, I would be against us making recommendations for membership of this board. I just don't. I think there should be a separation of that, and that's why I would like to see it removed from the agenda tonight.
Okay. So we have a proposal to amend the agenda. To remove the new business item, consideration of Alexandru Sursica's appointment to Planning Commission. Do we have a motion with regards to approval of the agenda with that modification?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Next item of business would be consideration of the minutes. And there are two sets of minutes in our packet, and the minutes from the previous meeting are for informational purposes only. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So we're not voting to approve the February 14th minutes. We would be voting to approve the minutes from November 8th, 2023. And I noted that it does appear that the comment that Kenwood had regarding his rationale for voting opposed, it looks like that change was made.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of November 8th, 2023.
Is there a second? Beth, are you? Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, the next item would be chairperson's report. I don't have anything particular for this meeting at this time. We have some potential visitors tonight. Do we have any public comment? Any visitor comment? Okay, hearing none. We move to plan review. So the first plan for consideration would be the land development plan for Bosniak's Islamic Cultural Center.
Good evening. Mike Guido with Guido Mill. We discussed this plan at the informal meeting last month. I will give you just a quick summary to refresh your memory. The site's located at 648 Alexander Spring Road, and what the plan proposes is a building addition to the existing cultural center. There's also a slight parking expansion associated with the plan. Just to refresh your memory, there is one waiver request. That would be for SALDO section 17855, which is the requirement to do a carbonate assessment. Your solicitor addressed the discussion about the parking agreement, the overflow parking agreement. The outstanding letters or the outstanding comments as of the last meeting were on the February 13th C.S. Davidson letter. And there were effectively three items that needed to be addressed on the plan. One was a lighting plan, which we have submitted. The second was the relocation of a handicapped parking sign. We did relocate that. And the final was a bonding estimate that needed to be prepared. We did prepare that and have submitted it. So I believe all the technical issues have been addressed, and it's just post-approval items, but I would certainly be open to any questions that you might have.
So I think there was a brief discussion last time you were here about, I had questions about the stormwater. I just want to make sure that's on the record this time, since it's an official meeting. The last time wasn't official. You mentioned that the stormwater management system was not going to be altered very much, and that it was already at grade.
That's correct. Essentially, what we're doing is taking the existing basin and adding 3 inches to the berm. I say 3 inches. That's 3 inches over the design elevation. So if you recall, I said that the original design was for a 1 foot depth. The actual berm was closer to 7 or 8 inches. So we're going to bring it up to 15 inches, which is effectively 3 inches over the previous design. But as far as the footprint, there is no disturbance other than to raise that berm. So the existing grass surface that's there, the infiltration surface, will remain undisturbed. And it actually has a slightly larger infiltration surface than what the approved plan had called for, if you look at total square footage.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bring up the stormwater portion of this, component of this, because just over the border in South Middleton, there's some new developments where they're putting in very large stormwater systems. Stormwater, there gets to be a couple of inches of stormwater, and that stormwater just punches right through and creates a sinkhole. And it's just not a very good situation over there. So it's just it's on my mind as a concern.
Yes. No, and you're right. I mean, there are a lot of issues with sinkholes and carbonate in this case, this basin's been here since roughly 2010. So, you know, there is a history of it receiving runoff
right.
and functioning properly.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions, thoughts? I do have a question regarding sidewalk provision in the mixed-use zone. My interpretation, at least of the SALDO section 178.40, would be that sidewalks shall be provided on all street frontages within the mixed-use zone as designated in the zoning ordinance. So I didn't know if that could be an additional waiver request consideration.
If that is the correct interpretation of the ordinance, then yes, I would absolutely be willing to verbally offer a waiver request. My assumption is that would include language essentially deferring construction of sidewalks, allowing the township at some point in the future to give a six-month notice or something along those lines. Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah, more or less I was thinking if the waiver was given that it would have a note on the plan that for any future improvements, say a sidewalk be constructed on Alexander, to continue that construction. But with there not being one there now, it doesn't make sense to put one there because it'd be a sidewalk to nowhere. But for future construction, that you would agree to continue that for your road frontage.
And that would be a condition of approval?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we're comfortable with, again, verbally requesting that waiver or that deferral, and yeah, I can provide a written copy after the meeting to formalize it.
How does enforcing that condition work? So if the property to the east were to construct a sidewalk, then it would be enforceable that this property would have to...
Correct, because this plan will be approved under the condition with the note once everything's signed off. That note will be placed on the plans in the condition that any of the other properties adjacent to that parcel itself, if once they're improved, or once they would be improved, then the applicant would be required then to connect the sidewalk and construct the sidewalk in front of their property. Okay. So that would be part of the approval as a condition.
Is that the language you want, or do you just want it at the discretion of the supervisors? And I only ask, I don't know, sometimes the more details you put on a condition, possibly, again, I'm not trying to change your mind, I'm just asking if we leave it more general and leave it at the discretion of the supervisors, does that accomplish?
I believe that would accomplish the spirit of what we're trying to do. That way, if something would, you know, if that property would be developed, then the supervisors would then also have the ability to enforce the sidewalks to be constructed on that property as well.
Sure. Are there any other considerations from any of the reports, memos we've received, questions?
No, I'd say as long as everything is met, that the staff and the engineer and everyone is recommended for it, then it looks good to me that it's compliant.
Okay. Yeah. The county comments I'm just reviewing too. They were primarily administrative. It does look like the plan should address the dedication of a fee in lieu of dedication of land. And I think you may have addressed some of these comments as well during our informal meeting.
Yes, my initial revision, I typically try to hit all the county comments, yes.
Yeah.
And I think 1620 was the number I saw Brandon had that on his January 10th memo as well. So, yeah, the fee in lieu of dedication would be 1620. And actually, yes, general plan note 9 on the revised plan indicates
that they would pay the fee in lieu of dedication. We have, We'll have two waiver requests then, is that correct?
Is it curb or curb and, or sidewalk or curb and sidewalk?
Sidewalk.
Okay, so sidewalk, so yes, it would be two waiver requests, yes.
Okay. So with no further comment, do I have a motion to approve, let's approve the waiver request initially. Do I have a motion to approve waiver request for Saldo Section 178-55, regarding identification of carbonate areas, and Saldo 178-40A1 regarding sidewalks?
Are those two different motions, or one motion with both of those?
Two separate motions.
We'll make two.
All right, so the first motion would be regarding the waiver request for Saldo Section 178-55.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, now with respect to the waiver request for Saldo Section 178-40A1 regarding sidewalks.
It's 178-40A1.
Yes.
I'll make a motion to grant the waiver with the note that a note will be placed on the plan set as discussed in the meeting.
I'll second.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, now I'll entertain a motion for consideration of land development plan for Bosniak's Islamic Cultural Center.
I'll make a motion for conditional approval, barring the engineer's comments, any outstanding comments, as well as the addition to the satisfaction of the zoning officer of the waiver language, and it shall not extend to any overflow parking areas beyond identified on the plan set.
I'll second that.
All right, motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too.
All right. The next item for consideration is subdivision plan for Maseko and Anderson.
My name is Chris Engel. I'm with Burnett and Associates. Got a pretty simple plan here for this evening. Just a little brief overview. Our site is located at the end of Stonehouse Road at the intersection of Britton Highway, Route 11. So, looking at the overhead display there, our property is lots 7, labeled there as 7 and 4. As well as the next one back is 5. What we have is a mistake. There is a type of existing dwelling in the center there with the brown roof on 7 and 4. Their property is composed of two separate lots from prior subdivision, which they own in a single deed in separate tracts. The neighboring property is 5, is owned by the Andersons. Proposal here is to join the two existing lots that contain the house, the driveway, and the garage, as well as subdivide a small section of lot 4 off to be joined to the neighboring property of the Andersons as a lot addition. So the proposal tonight is really just a lot line adjustment and consolidation of two existing lots out there. There's no improvements, no proposed anything at all, no work or moving activities, no sewage concerns or anything like that. So we just recently received the comments from county, as well as staff, and C.S. Davidson. Everything I would say is very minor in nature. Some notes, adding of wells and septics on each of the lots that were missing from the initial. Actually, I don't know the policy here. We can go over each and every one of these if you wish. I'd like to get down to the list of them. Does everybody have copies of the comment?
Yep.
Looking first at the county comments, clear
site triangles to be shown for the two driveways. I have those taken care of on my most recent plan. So the comment number two is the wells and septics. I talked with the landowners and they gave us locations of those and they're marked on the plan as well. Number three, the typical ag nuisance disclaimer, I've added that to the plan set. Number four, PNDI search. So that's just a search for any environmental issues. I've run the search there. I have no known items that came back on that. We're clear on all that. I can provide that as part of the set. Number five. Required note for the lot line adjustment. I've added that to the plan set as well as number 18 on our plan. The township should determine whether a dedication of land or a fee in lieu of. And I'm not sure what the policy is if that's something that's needed for this plan.
Not for this plan, though.
Okay. So I would think that's just a mute point then. Number seven, there was an issue with the labels on there, plus versus minus, to calculate the area. I've taken care of that. Number eight is the county's typical note there about providing them for their GIS mapping situation. C.S. Davison's comments kind of mirror those four comments there. The first one is we had an error on the corner, so I updated that lot owner to the south. They also picked up on number two there, the note on the plus versus minus. They've asked for us to put the non-building waiver on because the one lot, the 32-foot section, we're putting as a lot addition. They've asked for a note to be added about that. We've included that. And the fourth is standard surveyor to sign and seal. I believe staff comments kind of mirror those as well. We are, on our plan submission, we do have two waivers for consideration. One of which is 178.18, D as in dog, for features outside of the 200 foot. Considering the simplicity of the plan and really no kind of disturbance or effects to the neighbors, we'd ask for that waiver. We also ask for 178.18, D as in boy 2, for two sheet plans that deal with the, I guess there's a requirement here for each plan should have two sheets in existing and proposed condition. Considering the simplicity of what we have here, I believe everything's shown pretty well on one sheet. Keeps it simple.
It's, in my opinion, it's simple and straightforward.
Yeah.
There's not too much.
Yeah.
Not too much here.
These are the ones I like to do. They make it easy. So, you know, with that, I'd be looking for a recommendation on the supers.
Very well. So, no additional comments, questions from the commission? Okay. So let's, I'm looking then for a motion. So I would be looking for a motion on consideration of the waiver for SALDO 178.18B2 requiring each plan to contain a minimum of two sheets.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The next waiver request would be regarding Chapter 178.18D, which requires a plan to identify features located on or within 200 feet of subject property.
I'll make a motion.
Second. motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so now we're looking for a motion regarding the plan approval for Masoco and Anderson.
I'll make a motion for conditional approval. Approval will be held once all comments from the zoning officer, engineer, county are satisfied. Then for recommendation to the supervisors after satisfaction.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Can I ask one question?
Sure.
So now that you approved it at the township level, at the planning commission, it is on the agenda for the supervisors on the 18th?
Yes.
Yes.
It's already on, it's pending approval here.
Right.
Now that we have approval, it'll stay on the agenda.
Okay.
The reason why we have, because mom is
now living in a facility. We're taking care of the house. It's under contract, all right? So as soon as this is done, it's sold.
I didn't know the house would sell so quickly. And so this is, because it's going to change the deed, we have to wait for this section to finish so the new deed can be created and then the rest of the property can finish being sold. So I'm just kind of checking for a time frame, how fast that could happen. So. Any ideas?
So it'll go in front of the Board of Supervisors next Monday. Once we get the plan with all of the required revisions done to it, we'll get the signatures in and then it'll be taken in for recording and at the courthouse.
Yeah, as long as all the fees.
Yeah, there's all the fees and everything.
Fees and all that will be taken care of.
Okay.
So we'll keep following on with it.
Does the supervisor sign out a meeting? Do they sign out a meeting? Like, we would get conditional approval most likely next week. And then just drop the plan back to you.
Drop the plans off and then they can come in and sign it.
Very good. We appreciate your time.
And I do appreciate the owners of the property cleaning this up before it gets sold. It's very appreciated.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, we know how it's been because paying two tax notes on the property because the house sits in the middle of it is kind of a pain in the butt.
Right.
So, and getting it all one tax note. Now, the other question is, we just received the taxes on it. Should we wait till this process is done and then pay the new or do the two now?
It's due April 30th.
So you'd want to talk to the county tax administration office.
Carolyn McQuillan, the tax collector?
No, the tax administration office.
Oh, okay.
So that would be either Kathy Waters or Mel Mixel.
Okay, great.
Because we weren't sure if we should just pay these now and then there'll be a new one.
Yeah, they'll be, actually, yeah, Melissa Mixel will be able to answer that question.
Great.
At the county tax administration office.
Okay, thank you very much.
So I have a question for you before you leave, though.
Yes.
About 2 years ago, were you selling a 73, 74 Duster in a Carlisle Chrysler?
Yes,
I thought so. I talked to you. My dad was looking at that car. Yeah, I thought I recognized you.
I didn't sell that car.
Shortly thereafter, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Back to Jersey.
Yeah, I recognize the truck sitting out there.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you all.
All right, our next item would be the zoning officer's report.
I have nothing to report.
Solicitor's report?
No report.
Engineer we don't have here today. Park and Recreation liaison report. Do we have anyone who's involved in the Park and Rec committee? Larry, do you have any updates?
I can't answer anything. The Park and Rec just recently met. Actually, Glenn attended with Marge just to give some background because Glenn and I and Marge have been give us direction moving forward, how, you know, and really trying to encourage them to meet with us on site so we can explain our concerns of logistics of all that. So, and we're planning on talking with the board about the same thing, to have them meet on site to do the walkthrough for the mill, so everybody's well versed in what we're actually looking at and talking about. So they agreed with our initial plan to move forward with some of the small grants that we can obtain inside and everything, so they seem to be on board with all that. So they, right now, our guys will be finishing up the new trail extension as per the master plan. That should be finished up. That was all approved through a grant, and then we'll be installing a sign that County Conservation helped us receive to document the history of the stream bank restoration project and the native plant restoration project we did here last year. So
great. And I was also wondering about, I had just heard about the Founders Day celebration in April.
Correct.
Is that scheduled for April 20th?
Yeah, that's an event they wanted to start. They're starting small and working their way up. They figured that would be a nice one, just to offer a little flea market type Founders Day thing to get things started. I believe they're offering a nature trail walk over at Lindenwood. Mike Shank will be basically providing the walkthrough with that. Just somewhere to start. We got the fire companies involved. They're going to provide food for sale and everything, and that'll help the fire companies out and everything. So we're starting to get some good responses, so we're excited.
That's
so, and we, and Beth, your comment about the board members and stuff and openings, I would strongly encourage, and I, Beth and I had a long conversation today. I will do better at make sure at the end of the year when terms are coming up. Typically what I do is I email that person, say, hey, we'd like you to stay on, or you, do you have interest in it? But I will do better at letting the board know that we have some openings coming at the end of the year. I'll provide that with everybody. So with that, we'll work with you to try to improve that communication. I'll take that on my shoulders and make sure you're well-versed in that. And I think with talking with Rob, we haven't communicated with the rest of the board yet, but had a conversation with Rob. We may change the procedure on that a little bit, of how it's submitted and everything, so everybody can be well-versed in that. So.
Would we get some of that feedback next meeting? So like, if we're terming up interest,
as long as it's called
somebody, you know?
Yeah, as long as it's talked about, yes. And my anticipation would that be you guys would receive it, the board would receive it, you guys would either do you a quick interview or pick somebody to interview them, vet your process and make some kind of recommendation to the board, because ultimately you guys will be working with them. Whether it's official or unofficial, I think Matt stated it shouldn't be official, but we've always done it where you guys kind of made a quick, all it is a recommendation, you know, to the board, so they know that you're comfortable with them. Ultimately, the board is the approving, you know, approving appointment.
I mean, I'll put this up to the board. I never remember the Planning Commission actually making recommendation on members.
I know when I applied, I came before the PC. In fact,
yes.
I did too.
Earl made a little silly comment about my resume, something I can't even remember what he said.
Yeah, the problem is it's been, and we've talked about it, the problem is it's been kind of spotty. With the Park and Rec, we had a lot of trouble with quorum.
Yeah.
So it was kind of passed around to the existing members, and they made a recommendation, yeah, we like this one, we like the resume. I know Rob has major concerns with not interviewing, doing some kind of non-official interview, just so, like, you know, you see who you're dealing with.
Right.
So I think soon we're going to be working with the board once we have the final discussions on possibly creating a policy procedure moving forward. So, and yes, there's been times that PC met and gave a recommendation and vetted them through a process, and there's been times where it was more, here's the resume, what's your recommendation? So I think Rob's mindset is try to get some consistency there.
Yeah, and it has changed, because prior we did resume and a bio.
Yes.
And also important not only to see what the person's accomplishments are, but also see what their interests are outside of their working life.
Point taken. I'll make sure, because I received a call today with interest of a PC, so I'll make sure I encourage that moving forward.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Here to help.
One other procedural question, if I could ask it, just since we happen to be talking about policies and procedures, would be, we had some conversation a little bit about using the designated email address for Planning Commission. I don't know if people find it cumbersome because they don't necessarily know when to check that on a regular basis. I noticed there's been a lot of junk mail showing up in there, but not that, I mean, that can...
I tell you what, you know, when I believe there was an email circulated previously that went to, at least it showed up in my work email. Mm-hmm. I'm attached my phone to my work email every day. Like, seeing that come in, I was able to respond very quickly, you know, or at least get the message right away. I personally like that. Now, I guess in terms of sunshine law, would then my work email be privy to that?
Well, that's a good question. I'd have to review the statute. My initial impression is that it wouldn't be subject to sunshine law. It might be subject to right to know law. So that would be a possibility. However, it wouldn't expose your entire work account.
It would just be to that specific email.
Specific.
So that's what, I'm perfectly fine it coming to my Arrow account, because that's, I'm attached to that every day.
Yeah.
I
would certainly prefer to have it go to my work email. I mean, I already have like seven emails, so
yeah.
Email accounts. So I definitely don't want to be looking at other, I like the way we did it the last week or two.
Yeah, I'm in consensus of using other emails to communicate, because it's a way that we correctly see what's coming in, and that PC account never really gets monitored. And I think it has a lot of issues with junk and who sent what, and then replies, and then it gets all confused of who's doing what back and forth. But yeah, the RTK is a concern. Heard at other places that if you RTK came along and they wanted something from your phone, that they could actually take your phone. But I've never heard of that occurring. It was just one of the scenarios that might happen if that request came in. So,
yeah, and one other point to that too, we certainly wouldn't be doing any kind of, you know, it would be more of a notification, sharing of information, materials, you know, from staff. So perhaps we can kind of talk about that a little bit further, you know, in consideration of a procedure. But it sounds like there is some interest in potentially shifting over, but we might need a little bit more legal guidance on that. And I do think I would want Ken to be here as well, you know, to weigh in on that too.
Yeah, and if I may provide some background, we started that years ago just for that fact. We had some issues going back and forth with personal emails, and I've been a right to know officer for close to 10 years now, and been to a lot of training, and they've cautioned severely of using, but unfortunately we're all using our phones to answer, most of us are using our phones to answer any emails we get from the township. I'm on it daily, so I'm, as Bob said, you know, they could take my phone any day if somebody filed a proper right to know. So my only caution is just make sure you're keeping it, you know, business-wise. And also, I would caution, you know, it was created for that purpose. So if you guys are all adamant, we'd rather just do it on our own emails, we can accommodate that. That's easy. And what it does do for the township, it'll actually save us some money, because we can get rid of an extra cost of holding that extra email. So I just need to know if nobody's going to use it, nobody's interested in it, I'd be glad to get rid of it.
So, Larry, I guess to that point, too, like if, say, we were using, you know, the PC email and we had it attached to our phone as a mail service.
Yes.
That's the same scenario.
Exactly.
So what's the difference if it's...
Well, that's why I'm pointing out.
Yeah,
that was the
I think...
The reason that was,
you know,
created. Phones weren't as prevalent back when we really started to kickstarted that.
And that's the same if we're looking at on personal computers and all that stuff. So it's...
Wow.
It is what it is.
I always say townships are double-edged sword.
I have to say, I always carry two phones. I have one that's a right to know and one that's not right to know.
Fair enough. Wow. All right. All right.
Well, thanks. Thank you for sharing all of that and joining
anytime,
us.
Anytime. That's what we're here for. Like yeah. I said, just that need something to ask, you know, I'll tell you what we need to, you know. Like I said, I don't mind getting rid of it because it saves us money.
So is there a decision, or is this just a discussion? We're going to wait on something more from the solicitor about right to know about Sunshine?
What specific questions do you have?
Well, does it violate the Sunshine Act? Are we in jeopardy with right to know? That would be my bottom line question.
Or it says you're in jeopardy anyhow if you're using your phone. I mean,
so,
I
guess just use, so the question would be if you're using like a work email for planning commission business,
yeah,
whether that would be subject to, and again, I think it the law that would be implicated would be right to know. So whether that would be subject to right to know.
That specific email or email string mm-hmm. would be subject to right to know. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, beyond I don't think they can touch anything else in your inbox.
Yeah, I mean, I would. I agree with that. I think you know anything that would be planning commission business related would potentially be subject to right to know law. But nothing that would be, you know, part of your work email account that has nothing to do with planning commission, that would not.
Okay. That's not an action item, but we can certainly.
Are we making a decision that we're not going to use that account, or do we need more discussion or more information? It sounds like we have all the information we're going to get.
Yeah.
And we need to let Larry know that hey, we don't. Use that PC thing, get rid of it, save some money.
Matt can correct me if I'm wrong, but my position was if it's a consensus of the board, I think it's no financial commitment or anything like that, so I don't see a problem with making that consensus that you mm-hmm. do away with it.
I think if commission wants to come to a consensus that would be, let's say, a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors that, hey, we don't need this, we're not using this email account, then that would be fine.
I'll make a motion to recommend to the Board of Supervisors to disband the PC email account.
I'll second it.
And use
work
or email accounts of the
of personal choice.
Yeah.
Just want to caution, it's not on the agenda.
Yeah.
So I think just a recommendation.
Informal recommendation.
Okay.
So that was kind of
recommendation.
My thinking is more just an informal, you know, recommendation.
And if possible, please, reach out to Ken as well to make sure that'll work for him. Yeah.
I'm good.
Okay. All right. Thanks for entertaining that discussion too. Do we have a liaison report from the supervisors on any kind of recent
things happening as far as higher levels of government are really moving with the FPR issue, so I definitely encourage folks to attend supervisors meeting. There's always updates and it's always on the agenda. But also, like Barb Lime has been doing a lot of great work, and I think we'll be seeing some results from that. Even with Larry and the COG, they've been definitely making some strides there to. Stop some of the practices that are not so great for the township. Also, definitely we have workshop meetings now. Recommend everyone here attends, because the more input we have, the better it is for everybody, all the residents. And the thing we've struggled with for years is what's the best way to communicate. And the text messages coming through lately, they've been helpful.
They've been great. Like those text messages, with the alerts updates, I signed up. They're awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Take pride in that.
Seriously, it's. I really appreciate that.
And especially with the trash havoc we've been experiencing with some of the snowstorms, it was kind of nice to get notices there. And that's another issue that we'll be plagued with this year as far as the trash contract negotiation. So any input or ideas of how we can minimize the cost there is definitely appreciated.
Do we have a definite timeframe that that'll be expiring?
Yes, we've already used our last year of renewals, so we have to do a new contract this coming year. And as things look and other municipalities have found out, it's not pretty.
Thank you for that report. Appreciate it. So every there will be a workshop meeting between every supervisor's meeting, typically?
Yes. Correct me if I'm wrong, Larry, the first meeting of the month is the workshop meeting, and then
correct.
The standard business is the second meeting of the month?
Yeah, typically standard business because of the PC, when they meet with plans and stuff, we allow the business type stuff the following Monday. That way it's more productive and streamlined for applicants, residents, and stuff, especially for small plans like this.
Does anyone have anything further? Any old business to discuss? Any items that we brought up in previous meetings? All right. Well, if that's the case, I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
There you go.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.